see you guys. Real quick, something I forgot to make an announcement about. There's going to be a new men's alliance starting. Thank you for being here. We're glad that you're here. We're going to go to Luke chapter 8 this morning is where we're headed. And today we are wrapping up our series called This Is My Story. We've been in this series for 6 weeks now, and some of you are like, I never thought we would end the story, right? But we've been in this this series for about 6 weeks now, and we're going to wrap that up today. And really, this is kind of leading us up into Easter, and we kind of planned it this way. These stories that we've been talking about actually are just a trailer to what's coming, right? Hey, anybody, you remember going to the movies? I know nobody really goes to the movies anymore, if you remember the movies, you remember you'd go to the movies and you'd have to get there early enough to be able to see the trailers, right? And the trailers, what is a trailer? You say, I don't know what a trailer is. Trailer sounds like something that should happen after the movie. Well, initially they did. Early on in movie production, the trailers did come after the movies. And so there was just a kind of a preview of what was coming next, of the movies that were coming out later on. And so what they found was people would sit through the movie and then they would leave before the trailers would play. So instead of playing the trailers at the end, they moved the trailers to the beginning. All right. And so now we show up a little bit early to see what's coming soon. And that's what this message is entitled this morning, Coming Soon, because what we've been talking about, all these stories have really been a trailer to what is coming next. See, we live in a world of trailers, and before you see a movie, you get a preview of what's coming soon. It's a glimpse of what's going to be coming out next. And so a good trailer, it doesn't tell you the whole story, right? Some of you have seen maybe trailers that just tell you the whole thing. And once you watch the movie, it's like, man, the trailer was it, right? But a good trailer gives you just a glimpse of what's coming soon. It gives you just a glimpse of what you can expect. It's not the entire story, and so it just helps you prepare an expectation for something great that's going to happen. And so today, that's why I want to end here with Luke chapter 8 with this series to help set us up for where we're heading for Easter. But not just that, not just for our preaching series. Really, it sets us up for how we have to think about Easter, not just on Easter Sunday, but Easter every day, all right? And this is how we should think about Easter every day. And the trailer is the glimpse of what's coming soon. And so this morning, I want you to get a glimpse. It's just a glimpse of what Jesus is going to unleash on Easter. And it's not the feature film, but it's proof that resurrection is already in production. That resurrection is already happening, right? And so that's where we're headed this morning. So we're going to Luke chapter 8, if you go ahead and start turning there. Now, a couple things. This story is rated TV-14, okay? So it's not bad. It's got some stuff that's uncomfortable, right? And to talk about, especially as a guy talking about it. So this is rated TV-14. You have cards in your seat, and you'll notice that these cards are a white card this morning. And on that card, what I'd like for you to do is just in the middle of your card, write the word but, B-U-T. Make sure you spell it correctly, B-U-T, okay? the right kind of but. All right, so just write but in the middle of that card and hang on to that card. Just leave space above and below it because I want you to finish this card in a little bit. But you're going to start right there with that card. And so just hang on to that. That'll make a little bit more sense as we walk through this in just a few minutes. So if this is the trailer, and we're getting going on the story, and we've been talking about these stories, and this board here is full of your stories. It's full of pain, and it's full of hope. It's full of prayers. And so we've been talking about our story, my story, how my story connects and intersects with Jesus' story. And Luke chapter 8 is no different. So let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we're going to go all the way down to verse 40. And this is where we pick up in our passage today. It says, now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue and was and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And Jesus went, and the people pressed around him. Now, I'm going to stop right there. So I want you to get this picture. There's this man who's who is basically the synagogue leader. He is a leader of the synagogue, and he is a man of status. He has a position. He has authority, and he has some means about him. He's a man of wealth in some estimations. And so if you're thinking about him, he's a man who understands leading people, he understands solving problems, and he understands what it means to maintain control. If you're in a position of leadership, if you are a boss of some sort, this is kind of where you're at, right? If you own your own business, if maybe you're over people or you're managing something, maybe you're managing a team, maybe you're managing a company or division or whatever that is, you have to maintain control. You have to understand what it's like to lead people and to solve problems. And so this guy, that's what he does. This is his life every day. But now his life is different because now he is dealing with something where he is helpless. Now he is experiencing some powerlessness where there are things that he cannot control. And maybe you've been there. Maybe there are things that you can't control in life, but there are things that you're handed in life where you seem powerless to do anything about it. Or maybe you seem very much not in control of that situation and not in control of what to do with that. And that's where he's at. That's where Jairus is at right now. He is in this place where he is out of his element. He is in a way out of sorts because this is not his life. This is not what he's used to. He's used to being able to solve problems, and he can't solve this problem. He's used to being able to fix things, and he can't fix this thing. And so what does he do? He actually has to put his title aside because I'm sure for him to come to Jesus, a leader in his synagogue, for him to come to Jesus, that was probably tough. Because the people who run synagogues and the Pharisees, they weren't big fans of Jesus, right? They were somewhat threatened by Jesus. And so for Jairus, for him, in this moment, he had to kind of choose, hey, am I going to toe the party line or am I going to put all that aside and do what needs to be done? And what we find is this, he does that. He puts aside his pride. He puts aside his status. He puts aside his title. And he goes and he falls down at Jesus' feet and he's pleading, hey, my daughter is sick and I don't know that she's going to live much longer. She's dying and I need your help because I don't know where to go. I don't have the answers and everybody that I know, they don't have answers for this. So Jesus, I need your help. And all he wants Jesus to do is for Jesus to come and to do what? Come quickly. I need you to come with me right now and let's go. And this is part of the story where it can be difficult because if you've ever felt frantic about something, you've been there? Where it's like, I need this to happen, and I need to happen right now. Don't wait. I need you to move. Let's go. Don't even worry about getting your things. Somebody else is going to get your things. We're going to walk out the door right now because we don't have time for that. And if you've ever felt that kind of franticness, that's what he's experiencing. We went to my mother-in-law's house the other night, and we drove back kind of late, and we came back into Richmond Hill, and, 7 out of 10 times what happens when you're coming back into Richmond Hill is you're going to hit some kind of traffic at some place, somewhere, and this was at a train, you know, because we have all the trains. Not just some trains, we have all the trains. All the trains are here. And so they come, and so we got stopped by this train. I'm just kind of tired. I'm ready to get home. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this train go by. And what I don't realize is on the other side of this train, there's a fire truck, and there's an ambulance. And this train goes by, and, like, they're on the opposite side of the road, and they're, like, crossing through medians, and they're just getting, you know, just as soon as the train gets through, they're getting down the road. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know. I just thought, I'm annoyed right now sitting at this train. Can you imagine somebody whose life is at stake and now they're sitting at the train? That's how Jairus feels. He's He's got this major life crisis, and he's sitting at the train. Why? Because the next verses that we read picks up where there's a woman, this crowd that presses around Jesus, right? There's people that want to see Jesus, and they're just slowing the pace down. And this woman that we're about to meet, she interrupts. And it's in these moments that it's like, all right, hey, Jesus, Jairus, he's like trying to get Jesus to go. Let's go. Come on. We have to go, and we need to go right now. And sometimes we don't always appreciate the interruptions in life, right? Anybody ever been interrupted with life and you don't always appreciate that? I'm sure that he didn't appreciate this interruption. See, your faith is going to be challenged by all kinds of interruptions. But faith isn't proven by everything that goes as planned. It's proven when nothing goes as planned. That's what you need to understand. Faith isn't proven when everything goes as you plan. Faith is proven in those moments when nothing goes as planned, when everything falls apart. That's when faith becomes faith, right? Because up before that point, you've got it handled. Up before that point, I have a plan, and we're going to follow the plan, and we're going to stick to the plan. How many planners do we have in here, right? You follow the plan. You stick to the plan. What happens when the plan falls apart? I don't know. Plan B, plan C, plan D, right? What happens when they're all shot? What happens when they all fall apart and you've got no plans, right? You have to trust who? You have to trust his good plans. And you have to trust that even in the midst of interruptions, that God still sees and God can still work. And so that's really when faith becomes faith. It's not when everything goes as planned. It's when nothing goes as planned. And so we pick up this story again right here and said, Jesus went, in verse 42, and Jesus went, and the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. How old was Jairus' little girl? 12. And this woman, this little girl had been living for 12 years. This woman had been dying for 12 years. 12 is an interesting number in the Bible because 12 is a number of completion. How many tribes were there? 12. How many disciples were there? 12, right? You start seeing this number 12 pop up all over the Bible, and what it means, it's a number that really represents completion. But this woman's story, it seemed to be incomplete, right? It seemed to be things were not going as she had hoped. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all her living on physicians, and remember, we're reading this in Luke, and who is Luke? Luke is a physician, right? And so it's interesting that he kind of notes that. She had spent all her living on physicians and could not be healed by anyone. And she came. Am I losing my? It's all right. All right. And she came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" And I love this. Who was it to touch me? Peter said, "Master, crowd surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." Something happened. In that moment, that woman pressed in and grabbed his robe or his cloak, and something happened. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, because up until that point, she had been hidden. It was up until that point that was her life was hidden. She was unseen, she was unclean, and she was unwelcome. That was her life. She did not want to be seen because of her condition. She was unclean. She was considered ritually impure, so she couldn't go to the temple. She couldn't even be in this crowd, really, because it brought impurity, right? And it wasn't so much that she was sinful. It just made her ritually impure. And so she knows, hey, I got to get to Jesus. And so she presses in and she touches Jesus' robe. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had immediately been healed. And he said to her, what does he say? I love this. He says what? Daughter. Daughter. What was that? That's a term of relationship. That's a term of come back. That's the term of welcome home. daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Raina, can you bring me that cloak right there? Right there, yep. See, so I bought this. This is a prayer shawl, and I won't wear this exactly like Jesus wore it, but Jesus would have worn something like this around his neck. And it's basically a what they call a tallit. And my Jewish and Hebrew scholars in here, you can correct me later. All right, but what Jesus would have wore was something like this. And on the edges of this prayer shawl are these tassels. And this is called the tzitzit. The tzitzit. And what these tassels represent, it represent the commandments. It represents 613 commandments. It represents Torah. It represents instruction. And so Jesus would have been wearing this. And when this woman comes up and grabs, and it says the hem of his garment, it's not talking like the hem of his pants leg, right? Actually, what it's talking about is this, that she would have grabbed the tassels on his prayer robe, his cloak. She would have grabbed the tassel on this. And it's interesting because the edges of this prayer cloak are called the kanaf. And it actually can be translated, not just kanaf, but it can be translated as wings. And so when you get to Malachi, and I gotta think that this woman, when she is just seeing Jesus and she's remembering maybe from her childhood, remembering her Torah lessons, right? That she's thinking about Malachi. And she's thinking about Malachi. And this is what we find in Malachi. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. And it says, "And the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings." And so when she comes up, she's like, if I can just grab hold of the wing of that garment. If I can just get to that, because I know that Torah says there's healing in his wings. And if this guy is who I think he is, my life will be different. My life will be changed. And it was. She grabbed hold of the hem of his garment. And Rain, I'm going to give you this. And she grabbed hold of the hem of his garment. And her life, he said, power went out of me. And she was immediately changed. See, her interruption for help became an intersection for healing. And it was her invitation to come home. That was what it was. It was an interruption that became an intersection, right? I need help. And when your life intersects with Jesus, you'll find healing. And not only that, what does she find? She find a welcome home. Because Jesus just doesn't heal you one way. He heals you all the ways. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to do a total work in your life. And if we go to the end of this in verse 49, it says, while he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. Wow. Can you imagine? Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. But Jesus, on hearing this answered him, do not fear, only believe. She will be well. And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and the mother of the child. And they were all weeping and mourning for her. And he said, do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him, knowing that she is dead. And taking her by the hand, he called, saying, child, arise. And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given to her to eat. Right, there we go. Come on, one more time. It's good to eat. All right, Jesus raises somebody from the dead. What does he do? Let's have lunch. Okay, all right. I love it. This is the Bible, guys. It's the Bible. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. You know, what do we see going on here? We see this guy getting some bad news, and he says, "Hey, it's too late. Don't bother the teacher anymore." The worst news possible. If you can just imagine in your mind, what's the worst news possible that you could get? That's Jairus. He's been frantic up to this moment. Jesus, we got to go. We don't have time for this interruption. And now we're stopping. Why are we stopping? This woman, she's lived her life. My daughter hasn't lived her life. Please come help my daughter. And it wasn't that Jesus was careless with his daughter's life. Jesus had compassion for all the lives, right? Jesus was compassionate. And so what does he look at him? He says, hey, just believe. and I want you to have faith. And so what happens when it seems the worst news possible happens? What happens when it seems like, that's it, the story's over? That's it, this is the end, that's it, there's no need to bother the teacher anymore. See, faith still follows even when it doesn't make sense. Get that? Faith still follows when it doesn't make sense. Faith isn't just about starting with Jesus. It's staying with him when it doesn't make sense. And that's where some of you guys are at right now. It's like you're in the middle of your walk, and it's like, I started with Jesus. I started this journey with him. But man, I don't understand how he's working in this. I don't see how Jesus can do anything with this. God, this is my situation, and this is my story, and it's painful, and it hurts, and I don't know how you can take this mess and make anything of it. Faith continues the journey. Faith continues to follow, because that's what faith does. Faith follows when it doesn't make sense. Faith just doesn't start you on the journey. Faith is what keeps you staying in the journey with Jesus. And that's what Jesus told him. He said, just have faith. Just believe. Just see what I'm going to do. Because remember, Jairus, this is the trailer, right? New Life Church, this is the trailer. This is the preview. This isn't the featured film, right? This is just a glimpse of what's going to happen, because Jesus steps in and says, hey, child, arise. The one who is the giver of life. And we have to remember what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, where he says, all things were created by him, all things were created for him, and in him all things are held together. And so even death cannot trump over Jesus. Even death cannot have victory over Jesus. And Jesus is just saying, hey, there's more to come. This is just a glimpse of what resurrection life looks like. This is just a glimpse of what Easter is going to entail. This is just a glimpse of where we're headed. Jairus Church, New Life Church, this is just a glimpse of where we're headed. This is just a preview of what's coming soon, right? And so we have to understand this. And so this morning, this is what I want. I want you to get this in your head that this is it. This is the trailer. This is the resurrection trailer. This is the miracle. It is a miracle. It is not the movie. It is just the preview. This is the whisper of Easter, right? This is just the sneak peek of what's coming. Death is reversed. Life is restored. And hope is awakened. So this morning, I want you to take your card that you wrote but on there. And can you put that slide up there? And this is how I want you to fill this out. I want you to just, how is God still writing your story? And it might be that you would write it this way: I'm still anxious, but I'm choosing to trust. I'm still praying for my brother, my son, my daughter, my dad, my mom, co-worker. I'm still praying. They might not believe right now, but I'm still praying. I'm still believing. I'm still trusting. I'm still following. What is that? What is that story that you need to write on that card? Because this is how we conclude this series, and this is just part of it. This is just one part of your story that is a trailer to what God wants to do coming soon. Somebody can come and play. I want you to stand with me this morning. What does that look like for you? And they're going to come back, and they're going to sing this song, Good Plans. And just like we've been doing every week, on that card, as you write that card out, as they play this song, he has good plans for me. You know what? That might be where you have to remind yourself, I'm still hurting right now, but God has good plans for me. I trust a good God who has good plans, who has great power, who holds me together, who created me, and he sees me from beginning to end. And so my story is not over. There is a but there, and there is an ending to that that only Jesus can accomplish and only Jesus can finish. So what is that? So as they play this song, I just want you to come bring your card. I just want you to come lay it down. One more time. This is my story, and this is how God is working. this is how my story intersects with Jesus.